Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Zayin. We left off on daf Vavim Beis. We're at the two dots toward the bottom of Vavim Beis, about 6-7 lines before the end of the page. We're continuing our discussions of what is considered a Rosh Hasharabim and what is not considered a Rosh Hasharabim, what is a Karmelis. So we had on Vavim Aleph a Braisa that enumerated the four Rishuyos of Shabbos, and we're going to keep on going back to quoting that Braisa. So we say, Amar Mar, we mentioned that Braisa. Avol Yamu Biko the Yistavonis Vakarmelis, Seinen Lok Rosh After listing Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah and how it's usher to carry from one to the other, and one is Chayev Echatos if you do it b'shogeg, and Karis and Skila if you do it b'mezid, we then listed off various Rishuyos that would be considered a Karmelis. So we said that a Yam is considered a Karmelis, and that a Bika, an open field or an open valley full of fields, and Istavanis, which is an area in front of the stores where the merchants sit, all those things are considered a Karmelis. And we said, you know what else is considered a Karmelis? A Karmelis is considered a Karmelis. So that was the list of a Karmelis. So says the Gemara that in Lokrishus of Lokrishusam Ubika, so before we get to the discussion about Karmelis, how Karmelis makes the list of what's a Karmelis, after all, isn't Karmelis the entire category? So before we get to that question, the Gemara says, how could Bika make the list? Ubika ain a Lokrishus Yach Velokrishus Rabim. Is Bika an open field, full, an open valley full of fields, something that's considered a plain, an open plain full of fields, something that's not considered Rosh Hashanah nor Rosh Hasharabim, Vatnan Habika b'Yimosachama Rosh Hashanah l'Shabbos Rosh Hasharabim l'Tuma. When it comes to the summer months, so a Bika is considered Rosh Hashanah vis-a-vis Shabbos, but it's considered Rosh Hasharabim when it comes to Tuma. Now during the summer months, there's nothing planted in the Bika, and therefore in regards to Shabbos, it's not a place where the masses travel. It's not the main town square. It's not a street that a lot of people go to. So it's going to be considered Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos. But legabe Tuma, it's going to be considered Rosh Hashanah, because for Tuma, you don't need a Rosh Hashanah as defined in Hilchos Shabbos. Legabe Tuma, you just need a place that's not a place of seiser. That's not a place where people would go for a secret private meeting. Because we learn the din of Safek Tumah Rosh Hasharabim Tahar and Safek Tumah Rosh Hashanah Tameh from the din of a Nistra Vihi Nitma, from the din of a Sota, that a Sota goes into a Rosh Hashayachid to have yichud with the guy that she's suspected of cheating with, so that the geder is not certainly not shishim ribo or anything like it. So that's what the Rashi explains. Rosh Hasharabim l'tuma on the bottom of sveiko tahar dalav makum stiruhu. It's not a makum stira sheish b'nei adam nechlasim ba nechlasim la, because there are people that are always walking in there. As long as there's nothing planted there, there are some people that will be going there. So it's not a Rosh Hasharabim for Shabbos, but for Tumah would be enough to be Rosh Hashanah. But be Yimosa Geshamim, Rosh Hashanah. If it's the summertime, then for sure it's a Rosh Hashanah. Because in the wintertime, the rainy season, then for sure it's a Rosh Hashanah. Because in the rainy season, there's plants there, so there's always something. If there are things growing there, no one's going to walk there. So then definitely it will have the status of Rosh Hashanah. But bottom line is, we're asking, how can we say that a Bika makes a list of things that are considered a Karmelis, that it's not Rosh Hashanah and not Rosh Hashanah? Don't you see over here explicitly that legabe Shabbos, a Bika is always a Rosh Hashanah? Legabe Tuma, sometimes yeah, sometimes no, but legabe Shabbos, it's always a Rosh Hashanah. So which is it? Which Braisa should we trust? The Braisa that says that it's a Karmelis, or the Braisa that says that it's a Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara has two approaches to answer this question. Approach number one, three lines from the bottom, Vavam Beis, Amar Ula, Li Olam Karmelis Havya, the Mike. It's a Karmelis. No one ever meant to say that it's a Rosh Hashayachid. When the Braisa tells us that it's a Rosh Hashayachid, it means that it's not a Rosh Hasharabim. It's more of a Rosh Hashayachid than a Rosh Hasharabim is, but it's really a Karmelis, and therefore you would not be allowed to carry Dalet Amos within it, just like you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amos within a Karmelis. It really has a din of a Karmelis. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, no. Kagon de Isla Mechitzos. They're talking about two different types of Bika. A Bika that doesn't have a Mechitza, so that's going to be a Karmelis. But a Bika that does have a Mechitza is considered Rosh Hashanah. If it has a Mechitza, even though it's very large, large, we would consider it like a. I'm sorry, we would consider it like a carmelis. If you look at Rashi, going to Islam Mechitzos Hashmi Inan, the Aval Gav the Yekifa Yeser Mi Beis Asayim V'lo Hukaf L'Dira She'ein Beis Asamuchla Kodem Hekaf L'Inyin L'Talto L'Tocha Havya Kekarmelis. That carrying inside of it is like a carmelis, even though it's a massive area. K'damirin Be'irvin She'ein Metalto L'Bo Ela B'dalet Afilu Achi Da'o Raisa Rishu Sayachidhi V'azog Rishu Sram L'Tocha Chayiv, meaning if it has Mechitzos around it, on a Da'o Raisa level, it would be considered a Rishu Sayachid. So if it has mechitzos, it is a rishus yachid midaraisa, midrabanan, we consider it like a karmelis. Stira between the two braises, one that said that a bikkel is like a karmelis, the other said a bikkel is like a rishus yachid, comes along Ravashi and says, it depends whether you're talking midaraisa or midrabanan. Midaraisa, it's a rishus yachid. Midrabanan, it's a karmelis. Now, I mentioned yesterday, almost every time we have a karmelis, in halacha, midaraisa, we're dealing with a makom p'tur. We're talking about something that's a makom p'tur midaraisa, and therefore there would be no issue whatsoever of carrying from Rishus Yachid to it, or a Rishus Arabim to it, or four amos within it, and it's all midrabanan that all of those things are aser. But sometimes we have a karmelis that on a daraisa level is a Rishus Yachid. And therefore, if you were to carry from Rishus Rabim to it, it's not only Yasser Midrabanan, that would be a real bona fide Yasser Midaraisa. But the Rabbanan made it a Carmelis in that you can't even carry from Rishus Hayachid to it, and you can't carry four amos within it. So this is such an example. If you have a bika that's surrounded by mechitzos, but it's very, very large, so on a daraisa level, it's considered to be Rishus Hayachid. Midrabanan were machmir to make it like a karmelis. So that's the sheet of Rav Ashi. The chiyad amar ula, and it's just like ula amar Rabbi Yochanan. Karfe if yosim beis asayim shlohukaf ledira. If you have a very large area that's more that could hold more than the amount of space that would grow two sa of grain, that's not surrounded for the sake of dira. It's surrounded with walls, but not for the sake of people living in it. Vafilu kor vafilu kuraim. Even if it's a massive area. Hazorik l'tocho chayiv. If you throw from a rishus rabim to inside of it, you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because on the doraisa level, like we said, it's a rishus hayachid. My time mechitzahi elisha mechuseres tiyurin. But it's just there's no one that lives there, and that's why midrabanan we consider it to be a karmelis and not a rishus hayachid. That's the halacha of karfif yoser mibeis asayim. We saw Tosos yesterday asked, wait a second, isn't this a fifth rishus of Shabbos? Tosos asked on Vav Amud Aleph, right? It should have been, but we said no. It's some sort of in between a rishus hayachid and a karmelis. It has elements of both. It has elements of rishus hayachid and elements of a karmelis. So it doesn't count as a fifth rishus. Rav Zilberstein in Chashut Kechemed raises or was asked a very interesting shaila that he mentions our Gemara, not really Derech Agav, mentions our Gemara, and has very interesting insight in terms of practical case of a karfev that's Yoser Mibes Sasayim Shalo Hukaf Ladir. What's an example of such a thing? Where do we have massive fields that are surrounded by four walls, but no one lives in them? So we have, Rav Zilberstein points, the shaila he was asked was about a soccer player who in Israel, who wanted to give a lot of money to a yeshiva. So the shaila was, should the yeshiva take the money, all of his money, I guess the main day for soccer games is on Shabbos. So all of his money was made from Chol Shabbos. Can you take the money for the yeshiva from the soccer player, from the wealthy soccer player? So he says, well, let's see, is there any Yisr Dal Raisa of playing soccer on Shabbos? So he says, no Yisr Dal Raisa, a ball isn't muksa, he doesn't discuss, even muksa, a ball is happens to not be muksa, he doesn't discuss that, but he says, it's not an Yisr Dal Raisa, you're not carrying the ball in a Rosh Hashanah, Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because the games happen in stadiums. Stadiums are surrounded on all sides by walls, it's a massive field, an open field that's surrounded on all four sides by walls, is karfef yosim beis asayim shalo hukaf ladira. It's not it is hukaf, but not ladira. No one's supposed to live in there. So he said that would have a din of a karmelis, and therefore on a daraisa level, it's a rishus yachid. It's totally fine. On a drabana level, it would have a din of a karmelis. So it's only a violation of a chil shabbos midrabanan, right? It would only be a violation of a karmelis. And he says, and even if it were daraisa anyway, this would not be a violation of Maisa Shabbos, because Maisa Shabbos is only Asra Matzai Shabbos for the person who himself did the Malacha. If other people did the Malacha, then the Maisa Shabbos would not be, if someone else did the Malacha, then I would be able to benefit from the Malacha that he did, B'motzai Shabbos. So he said, technically, may ikra din, there's nothing wrong with taking the money from the soccer player. But he says, it's not appropriate to do, especially for yeshiva, because even though there was no Chil Shabbos Midaraisa in the game itself, the whole scene, everything around the game, the tailgating and the barbecuing, I don't know what they do at soccer games, but the whole scene around the area is all Chil Shabbos. Everyone's driving there. The whole thing is a big chefs of Chil Shabbos. And he quotes a beautiful vart on Parshas Bereishis, so we'll mention it, from the Tal Leoros. Eitz Pri Osa Pri, the Pasuk says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph of Bereishis, that the Tam Eitz is Ketam Apri, that the Tam Eitz of Pri Yeshavah, that the taste of the Rashi points out that was originally the Tzivoy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Tam of the Eitz to be the same as the Tam of the fruit. So Maharitz Tushinsky Zatzal explains that there's a Musar Haskel, the eitz is the pathway through which all the mizonos, all the life, all of the nourishment of the fruit comes. The fruit can't live without the eitz. It all comes from the ground through the eitz to the pri. That which provides for the pri should have the taste of the pri as well. So what's the most rascal? Lamducha ki gam misha mahana tamud chacham tzarech lios ketaimon mishalom emuna Yisrael. That those who are mahana tamidu chacham, those who support tamidu chacham, okay, they may not all be tamidu chacham themselves, but they should have the tam of the tamud chacham. They should have the emuna of the tamud chacham. They should have the, a little bit of the tam of the pri. Okay, then he quotes a story with Rav Elchanan that one time there was a fire in Baranovich, and there was a house of a guy that all the talmidim of the yeshiva. House was on fire. The Talmidim of the Yeshiva went to save the people, the members of the household, and they saved this entire non-Jewish family. And the guy at Sacha Kar Satov, he wanted to donate money to the Yeshiva. He wanted to give a lot of money to Rav Elchanan's Yeshiva. Rav Elchanan said, "No, for Achzakas HaTorah, in la'akum sheichus in Achzakas HaTorah, that we can take money for other things, and you're allowed to take for Beis HaKnesses, but for Achzakas HaTorah is a different story. You shouldn't be mekabel for him for Achzakas HaTorah." So Rav Zilberstein says, in this case, probably it's just inappropriate to take from the soccer player. He says, I have a good idea. If you want to take the money for something, put the money toward some sort of organization that works to be mekarev people to be Shomer Shabbos. Let it go toward Shmir Shabbos. Okay, but I'll just give that example of Karfif Yosim Beis HaSayim Shlo Hukaf Ladira. Every stadium is a Karfif Yosim Beis HaSayim Shlo Hukaf Ladira, where it would have a din of a Karmelis. So says Gemara now, Bishlam Rav Ashi Lomar Kadula. I understand Rav Ashi didn't want to say like Ula, because what was Ula's big terror? It's about the stira. Is this bika Rishus Hayachid? Like one Brisa says, or is it a Carmelis? Like the other Brisa says, is that the Brisa that said Carmelis didn't really mean Carmelis? It meant not Rishus Harabim. So I understand why Rav Ashi doesn't want to say that. That sounds very dachuk, that Carmelis doesn't mean Carmelis. Elo Ula my time Lomar Kishmaite. But why didn't Ula at least say like Rav Ashi? Because Ula himself, Rav Ashi himself relies on Ula's statement about Karfiv Yosim Beis HaSayim. So Ula knows about this. Ula was the author. Ula is the one who taught us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Karfiv Yosim Beis HaSayim is that's not Hukaf Ladira. It has the din of a Karmelis. So why didn't Ula tell us that? Why didn't Ula answer that way? That it has the din of Rishus Yachin Midar Raisa and Midar Rabban, and it's a Karmelis. So Amalach, Ida Isla Mechitzos, because Ula would say, if we're talking about a place that has Mechitzos, a field that has Mechitzos, Bika Karila, Karfifi, it would never have been called a Bika. Bika means an open plain, it means open. Open means no Mechitzos at all. So Ula finds it more dachuk to say that the word Bika means something that has Mechitzos and is therefore Rosh Hashayachin Midaraisa. Ravashi, and Ravashi would respond, okay, that may be a little dachuk, but Rosh Hashayachin Katani. You know what's even more dachuk? To say that something that's a Rosh Hashayachin, something's going to be called a Rosh Hashayachin when it's not, only because it's not a Rosh Hashayachin. That's very, very very difficult. So that's why each one doesn't accept the other one's opinion. V'akarmelis. So we mentioned on the list in the Brisa of things that fall in the category of akarmelis. Akarmelis. So frak the Gemara. Atu kulu nami lav karmelis ninu. Everything we just mentioned on the list is a karmelis. How do you mention the category along with the list of the specifics within the category? So kias ravdimi am rabbi yochanan lo nitzrucha el karen zavis asmuchul rishus rabim. When we say a karmelis, we mean to be referring to a Karen Zavis near a Rishus Rabin. What does this mean? Rashi has two pshat, and let's stick with the first one, is that let's say you have a row of houses that all face against the Rishus Rabin, and then one person does construction on his house where he makes his house more recessed back into the property. So now the area in front of his house is open, and it should be a Rishus Rabin, but it's not natural for the people from the Rishus Rabin to end up in the area immediately in front of this guy's house, because it doesn't flow from the rest of the Rishus Rabin. You'd have to like make a turn, and then you have to, you know, by the time you get to the next house, get back out into the main street. So it is a Rishus, technically part of the Rishus Rabim, but it's not a place where most of the people from the Rishus Rabim would walk, because if you're just walking straight, you would never go in the front yard of this recessed house. Sometimes very crowded in the Rishus Rabim, people sometimes will go there. Since it's not pleasant to use it, it's considered like a karmelis. In between the pillars has a din of a karmelis. They would have amudim, they'd have these pillars where the merchants would be able to put their wares to rest them over there. So that also would have a din of a karmelis. My taima, avgav de darsi barabim, even though in between these pillars people walk all the time, lots of people walk, since you can't really walk easily straight in between these amudim, because you'll walk right into a pillar, so it has a din of a karmelis, doesn't have a din of Rishus Rabim. Amar b'zeir amar v'yuda, itztival shelfnei ha'amudim nidon k'karmelis. The platform in front of the amudim, where people could sit, also has a din of a karmelis. L'mand yamar bein ha'amudim kol shkein itztva. If you hold the bein ha'amudim as a din of a karmelis, which is the floor in between the amudim, so certainly the itztva would have a din of a karmelis, would not be Rishus Rabim, because it's raised up off the floor. So if something that's on the floor of the Rishus Rabim would still have a din of a karmelis, so certainly the itztva, the little platform, would certainly not be Rishus Rabim and be a karmelis. L'man yamar itztva, but if you say no, the itztva is a karmelis, yeah, itztva udlo nicha tashmishte, aval bein amudim de nicha tashmishte lo. An itztva where using it is not so easy, but in between the amudim where it's much easier to walk there because it's on floor level, I would think that maybe does have a din of Rishus Rabim and is not a karmelis. Lishna achrina, another lashon has it like this: Avol bein amudim de zimnin de darsi le rabim kerishus rabim damya. That the bein amudim does have, since the rabim sometimes do trample on it, not nicha tashmishte, but the fact that the rabim do walk there, it therefore would have a din of a rishus rabim. Now, frak tosos, wait a second. Didn't we say that one of the qualifications of a rishus rabim we read in Shulchan Aruch yesterday? What it takes for something to be a rishus rabim? It's got to be 16 amos wide, 600,000 people. So frektosos, kirishus rabim dami afal pi she'ein bein amud la'amud tesayin amos, havi rishus rabim. There aren't 16 amos between each amud, so why would it be considered rishus rabim? The second tells us, so he says, kivin shebenei rishus rabim boken ba, v'chutz lebein amudim rachav shisha asar amah. Yeah, but the people from the rishus rabim are walking there, and the area immediately next to the Bein Amudim is 16 amos wide. So this is considered like an add-on to the Rishus Rabim. Even though this particular area of Bein Amudim is itself not 16 amos, it's considered to be an add-on to the Rishus Rabim, which is 16 amos. Amar Rabba, back in the Gemara now. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chista, Levena Zakufa, Rishus Rabim, Vizarek Vitach Befaneh Chayiv. Let's say you have a brick just sitting there, Rishus Rabim, a large brick, and you throw something from one area of Rishus Rabim right to the large brick, and it sticks to the face of the brick. It doesn't land on top of it. What you threw stuck to the face of the brick. So one is going to be Chayiv for that. If you threw it four amos in Rishus Rabim, it's considered to have had a Hanacha in the Rishus Rabim. So Al Gaba Pater, but if it lands on top of the brick, then you're going to be then you're going to be pater. We're going to see that it's got to be at least three tefachim high, where it's lo darsi barabim, and therefore it's not considered to have rested in a rishus harabim. But if it lands on top of the brick, it's going to be pater. So Abaye and Rava damri tarvayu vusha gavoa shloshut lo darsi larabim. Abaye and Rava say that's only if it's three tefachim high, where people don't step on it. If it's less than three tefachim high, so then it's lovered, it's considered like part of the rishus harabim, and then it would be chayiv even if it lands on top of it. Aval. His mivihigi afal gav de lo givi shlosha. But if you have thorn bushes, let's say, even if it's less than three tefachim high, people don't walk on thorn bushes, and therefore, even if it's less than three tefachim high, one is not going to be chayiv for throwing something that lands on top of a thorn bush. V'chia barav amar afilu his mivihigi. V'chia barav says now even his mivihigi, if it lands on top of a thorn bush, even that you're going to be chayiv for aval tsoa lo. But if it lands on top of excrement, people try very hard when they're walking down the street not to step in dog poop. So that's something people don't want to step in. So that's something, even if it's less than three tefachim high, doesn't have a dinner versus shab, no one steps in it. Ravashi amar afilu tsoa. Ravashi says, nah, even tsoa, if it's less than three tefachim high, has a din of the rishus rabim, and something you throw that lands on tsoa, you'd be chayiv for throwing it. There's an interesting discussion, Rav Asher Weiss, in the Sefer on Masechta Shabbos, he has a whole piece on Ha'aros about rishus rabim, about what makes a rishus rabim. So he has a section in Simon Chaf, Osei, Nistapku Achronim, Im Nosei Harechev, Mitstarfim Lashishim Rivo, Lasa Rishus Rabim. If people take the train, do train travelers, do car travelers have it count toward the 600,000? Or does Dafka have to mean that 600,000 people travel there by foot? So he suggests, he first quotes from Moshe, or Chaim Chel Kalvasim, the Kuflam test, the lo mistaver klal shenosei arechev ein mitstarfin. V'nakad lahachmir bayaros hagadolos bizmanenu shashishim ribo oven ben betzirov holchei reglai v'nosei arechev davir rishus rabim. Ramosh says, of course, people traveling in a car, why wouldn't they count? Why, they're not people? If it's 600,000 people, it's just as public a place. So that's why Ramosh says machmir that many places are a rishus rabim daraisa. Says Rav Asher, v'afim nosei arechev mitstarfim l'shishim ribo mikol makom nire demakom she'eno ro'oi elo l'nosei arechev ha'agolos b'lvad. He says, Rav Asher suggests a chiddush that a place that you can only go with a car, that you can't go but walking, that clearly should not be Rosh Hashanah. Because it's not like Digle Midbar. In the Midbar, we were able to walk where we were traveling. He says it has to be that any Rosh Hashanah has to be roi for the normal way for people to travel, and the most normal way for people to travel is by foot, is for people to walk. That's part of the definition of Rosh Hashanah. So he says, I don't have a great raya for this, but l'chora, there is some raya from our Gemara, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Why? His mivihigi is a makom patur. Why is it a makom patur? Because why is it not a rishus rabim? It's less than three tefachim from the ground because people don't step there. And if people don't step there, it's not going to be rishus rabim. We paskin like the other shita that Rab Chia bar Rav, who says afilu his mivihigi. He says, yeah, but look at Rashi. Why is it that afilu his mivihigi has dinner rishus rabim? Because when you're wearing shoes, you'll step on his mivihigi. So the bottom line is that when are we going to consider something rishus rabim? Only if you could walk there. It all depends on walking by foot. Wagons could go over his mivihigi. Horses could go over his mivihigi. We don't care. People can't. And if people can't, then that's going to be what defines Rishus HaRabin. That's Rav Asher's phenomenal chiddush. Says Gemara Vayta now, Amar Rabbi Deber Rav Shila, Ki Yasser Avdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Karmelis Pchusa Me'arba. A Karmelis is never less than four tvachim. V'amar Rav Sheshes, V'tofeses Adasara. A Karmelis takes up until 10 tvachim. So what does that line mean? We know that Karmelis can't be less than 4x4 tefachim. Less than that would be a makom patur. But what does it mean v'tofeses ad asara? That it goes up until 10 tefachim high. May v'tofeses ad asara. So a number of possibilities that we have to reject before we get to the true answer. Ile medii ka mechitza asara hu dahavi Karmelis vi lo lo havi Karmelis. If you want to tell me that something can only be a Karmelis if there's a 10 tefach high wall that separates it from everything else, that's the only time it could be a Karmelis. V'lo, is that really true? Can something really not be a Karmelis without a 10 tefach wall? V'am Rav Gidol, am Rav Chia bar Yosef, am Rav Bayis she'in betocha asara v'kuruya mashlima l'asara. Let's say you have a house that inside it's not 10 tefachim high, but with the roof it makes it 10 tefachim high. Meaning, when you count the thickness of the roof from the outside, the house will measure 10 tefachim high. From the inside, it won't, because beneath the ceiling is less than 10 tefachim. Al gago mutul letalta b'kulo. You're allowed to carry on the entire roof, because the entire roof is a rishus seyachid. It's 10 tefachim high and it's 4x4 tefachim wide, so it's a rishus seyachid. Bitocho, inside that house, ein metaltan ba'al dalet amos. You can only carry dalet amos inside of the house. Why? Because it's a karmelis. It's not a rishus harabim. It's surrounded by walls. So obviously, that it's a karmelis. Aye, but it doesn't have mechitzos of 10 tefachim. So obviously, that for a karmelis, you don't need to have mechitzos of 10 tefachim. Elamai v'tofesos ad asara. So what do we mean when we say it's tofes until 10 tefachim? Da'ad yud hu da'av yekarmelis. L'malam yud tefachim lavi karmelis. It means like this. Not that a karmelis needs walls of 10 tefachim, but that when you have a karmelis, only the first 10 tefachim of height, of airspace, counts as a karmelis. Above 10 tefachim is not going to be considered a karmelis. V'chiyadam l'shmul Rav Yehuda, shinna lo tavi b'mili d'shabata l'mala miyud. Like Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, that you should know that in Rishuyos of Shabbos, they don't extend more than 10 tefachim high. So l'mayilchso, what kind of Rishuyos of Shabbos was Shmuel informing Rav Yehuda doesn't extend more than 10 tefachim high? Let's go with the most basic Rishuyos first. Ilei medein Rishuyos if you think that Shmuel is telling Rabbi Yehuda that a Rishus HaYachid doesn't extend beyond 10 Tefachim of height, that's not true. V'amar Rav Chista, not Kana Rishus HaYachid, V'zarek V'nachal Gabav, Afilu Gavoa Me'a Amo Chayiv, M'nei Shor Rishus HaYachid Olad L'Rakia. If you stick a pole in Rishus HaYachid and you throw something on top of it, that it has a platform on top of it, it doesn't matter how high, it can be 100 Amos high. It's all a Rishus HaYachid, because the Rishus HaYachid, the airspace of Rishus HaYachid goes all the way out the Rakia. So Shmuel could not have been talking about Rishus HaYachid when he says that Rishuyos of Shabbos stop at 10 Tvachim. So let's go with the other basic Rishus. Eladein Rishus HaRabim Malamayud. Maybe he's saying that Rishus HaRabim doesn't extend beyond 10 Tvachim of airspace. Well, that happens to be true, but you wouldn't need Shmuel to teach that to Rabbi Yehuda. Masnisin, that's an explicit Mishnah. Ditanan, Azorik Dalet Amos Bekosel, Namalamayud Tvachim, Kizorik Ba'avir. If you throw 4 tefachim at a wall, so if it's above 10 tefachim, that's like throwing it in the avir. In Rosh Hashanah, it's not considered like you throw it in Rosh Hashanah. It's kizarik ba'avir, meaning it's like you threw it into a makom patur, because above 10 tefachim is not a Rosh Hashanah anymore. But lemata me'asar tefachim is kizarik ba'aretz. That's like it landed in the Rosh Hashanah. But bottom line, what you see is that when Shmuel told Rav Yehuda that you should know that Rishuyos of Shabbos don't go above 10 tefachim, he could not have been talking about Rosh Hashanah, because it's simply not true. He could not have been talking about Rishus Rabim because it's too obvious. So what was he talking about that doesn't go above 10 tefachim? Ella Carmelis. He must have been talking about a Carmelis. Dein Carmelis, l'mal me'asara, that Carmelis doesn't extend beyond the first 10 tefachim of airspace. Va'akilu barabanan mekule Rishus HaYachid mekule Rishus Rabim. With Carmelis, the Rabbanan were mekil with certain leniencies of Rishus HaYachid and certain leniencies of Rishus Rabim, meaning to define something as a karmelis is usually a chumrah. Like we said, that karmelis, almost always, a karmelis on a daraisa level is a makom patur. So on a daraisa level, this area that we're going to call a karmelis, you could do anything in. You could carry 4 amos in it, you can carry from it to Rishus Ram, from it to Rishus Yachid. It's great, it's totally, it's perfect. You could do whatever you want. When the Rabbanan decide to label it a karmelis, they're making a big chumrah. So before they hand out that label of a karmelis, they're gonna apply certain kulas. They're gonna say that something, in order for it to be labeled as a karmelis, is gonna have to meet certain criteria. And some of the criteria are similar to criteria of Rishus HaYachid. Some of the criteria are similar to the criteria of Rishus Rabim, which stands to reason, since a karmelis is considered to be something in between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus Rabim. What are the criteria? Mikuli Rishus HaYachid diyika makom arba hu davi karmelis vilo makom patur bialmahu. One criteria is that it needs to be be 4x4 tefachim. If it's not 4x4 tefachim, it's a makom p'tur. Someone was just telling me yesterday in Brooklyn, if you don't hold the v'eruv and you're carrying something, the first thing they tell you to do if you realize that something's in your pocket is find a fire hydrant. Why find a fire hydrant? Because it doesn't have 4x4 tefachim, so it's going to be a makom p'tur. So if you empty your pocket out onto the fire hydrant, then you're not going to be chayiv for carrying. If you hold the street as dinner rishus ram dal raisa, you don't want to drop it in the street. You carried it from your house. You can drop it in the street. That's a dal raisa. So it's better. We discussed yesterday the possibility of just continuing to walk and not stopping. Okay, but let's say you're not going to get into rishus yachid anytime soon. So that's the thing they tell you: find a fire hydrant. Because if this did less than 4x4 tefachim, is a makom p'tur. Mekula rishus, or probably a mailbox l'chara would also work. I would imagine it's also not 4x4 tefachim. I'm not sure how big it is. Mekula rishus rabim da'ad. It probably depends whose tefach, which measurement of a tefach he is. Mekula rishus rabim da'ad asar tefachim udav yekarmelis l'mal me'asar tefachim lav yekarmelis. And the other kula is that up until 10 tefachim it's a karmelis. Above 10 tefachim is not a karmelis. Once you're above 10 tefachim, the airspace above it, it's going to be considered a makom p'tur. It's not going to be considered a karmelis anymore. Okay, gufa. Now going back to our discussion about the house that had 9 tefachim inside but 10 tefachim from on top. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Chia Bar Yosef Amar Rav. Bayis she'ein tocho yud. If you have a house that the inside of it is not 10 tefachim high, v'kiruya mashlima la'asara, but the ceiling, the thickness of the ceiling itself makes it 10 tefachim. So from the outside it's 10 tefachim high, from the inside it's not 10 tefachim high. So al gago mutu l'tatal b'kulo, on the roof you're allowed to carry across the whole roof. You don't have to worry about 4 amos or anything, just carry across the entire roof because it's a rishus hayachid. Because it's 10 tefachim high, 4x4 tefachim high. That's the definition of rishus hayachid from Vav Amud Aleph. B'tocho, but inside the house, you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amos inside the house, because inside the house has a din, can't be a rishus harabim, because it's surrounded by walls, but it has a din of a karmelis. So you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amos. Amar Abaye, v'imchakak bo dalet al dalet, v'ishlima la'asara, muta l'talta b'kulo. If you dig an area of 4x4 tefachim into the ground of the house, that's, let's say the airspace of the house is 9 tefachim, if you dig a 1 tefach deep area of 4x4 tefachim inside of the house, then the entire house becomes a rishus hayachid. You're allowed to carry in the entire house. Now, you only dug out a square of 4x4 tefachim, 1 tefach deep in the house. So why are you allowed to carry throughout the entire house, even the parts that are only 9 tefachim high? Yeah, my time, why is that allowed? Havichori rishus hayachid, v'chori rishus hayachid, k'rishus hayachid damu. That's considered to be like the crevices of rishus hayachid. That since where you dug, it is 10 tefachim high, and it is surrounded by mechitzo, so it is consider rishus hayachid. So the entire rest of the area, the entire rest of the house, even though it's only 9 tefachim high, is also rishus hayachid. It's considered like the crevices of rishus hayachid. The itmar chor rishus hayachid, chor rishus hayachid damu, chor rishus harabim is a machlokas. When it comes to Chor Rishus Yachid, everyone agrees it has dinner of Rishus Yachid. Chor Rishus Rabim is machlokas. Abaye says it has dinner of Rishus Rabim. Rava says it does not have dinner of Rishus Rabim. Frek Tosos, if you dig 4x4 tvachim, so now you're mashlim it la'asara, right? You're mashlim the house to asara tvachim, at least in that little spot of 4x4 tvachim, it's now 10 tvachim high. And that makes it good enough that the whole house is okay for Rishus Yachid. V'kashal riva, tap Tosos, why should this be any different than the halach of a sukkah? A sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim high, I don't know if it counts as a dafyomi coincidence on Isru Chag. I guess it's the worst dafyomi coincidence because we're so far away from having to learn Hilchos Sukkah again. Dom parakam the sukkah. The Gemara says in the first parak of Masechta Sukkah, chakak ba la'ashlim la'asara im yesh misfas chak ulukosel gimel tefachim psula. What we require in a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim high is not just to dig to a certain area in the center that will get down, that will be deep enough to make a 10 tefachim from the schach, but the space from the edge of where you dug to the walls of the sukkah has to be less than 3 tefachim. You need a lavad there. Otherwise, the walls don't count, and the sukkah is not going to be a kosher sukkah. Over here, we may know such. You could be living in a mansion. It could be a massive room, and you take this room, and you just dig out the area where the beam is 4x4 tefachim, and it's 1 tefach deep, and the whole rest of the room, you're allowed to carry in, even though it's only 9 tefachim high. Why by sukkah doesn't that work? By sukkah, it's got to be less than 3 tefachim from the edge of where you dug to the wall. Why should it be any different? So says Tosas, a big difference. V'tiretz, the shiny hasam gabe sukkah, t'binishu mechitzos smuchos l'schach. By sukkah, there's a din that the mechitza has to be samuch to the schach. Even though there is a din of dofen akuma, that's a separate mechanism that we use. But hirchukah sichuch min adfanos psula. If you have airspace that's more than 3 tefachim between the schach and the walls, so that's going to pass through the whole sukkah. So the sukkah, essentially what Tosfos is saying is, this Rishus HaYachid is a din in this space, this shetach of karka. Is this a private domain or is it a public domain? If it's a private domain and it fits certain measurements, so then it's a Rishus HaYachid. By a sukkah, we're looking at the entire structure. The roof counts a lot. The walls count. Everything counts. It's all one big structure. So the measurements aren't just do we meet the measurements or not. The whole structure has to meet the criteria. It's not enough that you have disparate parts that might meet the criteria. By sukkah, we look at how the schach relates to the defanos and not just to the defanos themselves. One more ha'ara on what we just read. This bayis that doesn't have 10 tefachim, that ain't tocha asara, kuriya mashlima asara, but it has arba al arba, so we said the inside is a karmelis, and the top of it is just before you dug anything out. The inside is a karmelis. So Mishnah Berurah writes in the B'Shem Rashi that the reason why it's not a Rosh Hashanah on the inside is because on the inside the walls aren't 10 tefachim high, which is pashtus, right? The Sharetzion, however, quotes a ran. In Sharetzion, Simon Shinmem Hei, Sivkot Nei, he quotes a ran that he says, since it's not Roy Ladira, since inside that house it's not Chazi Ladira, Al Yedei that Mechitza, it's as if there are no Mechitzos. A little bit different than Rashi. Rashi says, yeah, there are mechitzos here, but those mechitzos are not 10 tefachai mechitzos, they're 9 tefachai mechitzos, so they're not good enough. So that's why it's not a Rosh HaSiyachin. The Ran says it's not mechitzos at all. If it's not 10 tefachim high, then it doesn't function as a mechitza. It's ki'il, there are no mechitzos whatsoever. The Mainaf community between Rashi and the Ran. So Zilberstein suggests, what if you have a situation where you have a cabinet in a room that's 10 tefachim high, but the airspace inside of the cabinet is less than 10 tefachim? So there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch Nichlas Tznius in Siman Reish Mem, that one is not allowed to have Tashmish Amita in a room where there are Svarim. So you have to put them behind the Mechitza. So what if they're inside such a cabinet? Is that considered to be behind the Mechitza? Because where they are inside the cabinet is the walls are less than 10 Tefachim high, but the outside is more than 10 Tefachim high. So he says the Chora would depend on the Machlokes Rashi and the Ran. If you hold like the Ran, there are no Mechitzas. It just doesn't count as a mechitza, so you have nothing. So you have nothing being mafsik, because it doesn't count as a mechitza at all. But if you're like Rashi, it is a mechitza, and klap echutz, it's 10 tefachim high even. So then it would be a valid separation. And he quotes the Bir Alachas Mechadesh in Siman Shin Mem Hei, that any time you need tocha asara, that's only midrabban l'churma. That's only that he says umestavreshu rak legabi Shabbos v'lo legabi hilchos mechitza. This whole din of tocha asara may be only a din in hilchos Shabbos, not a din in any other area of halacha. Which would mean nafkamina between Rashi and the Ran for hilchos tznius would not really be a true nafkamina, because for any other halacha we would always say that you would not require. You would not require tocha asar. As long as on the outside it's 10, that would be good enough. Okay, so, but when it came to Chori Rosh Hashanah, back in the Gemara now, we had a machlokas Abayi and Rava. Abayi said the crevices of Rosh Hashanah are like Rosh Hashanah. Rava said they're not like a Rosh Hashanah. What are they if they're not like Rosh Hashanah? So says Rava, El Rosh Hashli Atzman Heim. Vim Rechavim Dalit have a Karmelis, Vilo have a Makom Ptur. Right, Rashi explains, if they're 4 tefachim wide, it's a Karmelis. If they're not, they're a Makom Ptur. But it's definitely not a Rosh Hashanah. So Rava Labaye, Rava says, Abayi Lidi, Dacht Amr Chori Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Damu. Einstein, according to you, that Chori Rosh Hashanah is like Rosh Hashanah, Maishto mehaduch yasr avdimi yomar b'yochel l'nitzchel l'keren zavis hasmuchel Rosh Hashanah, v'tavi k'chori Rosh Hashanah. When we needed to come up with an example of something that has a din of a karmelis, we said a keren zavis hasmuchel Rosh Hashanah, the recessed house, remember the area in front of the recessed house, we said that has a din of a karmelis, not a din of a Rosh Hashanah. Why doesn't it have a din of a chari rishus harabim? Shouldn't that be a crevice of the rishus harabim that, according to you, would have a din of a full rishus harabim? Rava says to Abaye, it's a challenge on Abaye. So Abaye answers, no, hasam lo nicha tashmishtei, hacha nicha tashmishtei. No, over there, it's not normal to use it. People don't have an easy time using that area, and therefore it does not have a din of rishus harabim. Chari rishus harabim is an area that people do have an easy time using. Tanan, new Mishnah that we're quoting. Hazorek dal ramos bekosel. Lemal me'asar kazorek ba'avir. If you throw four amos to a wall that's and it lands on the wall above 10 tfachim, then it's like you threw into a makom p'tur, you threw into the avir. Lematam yud tfachim kazorek ba'aretz. But if it lands less than 10 tfachim from the ground, then it's like you threw into Rishus Rabim and you violated being mavir dal ramos Rishus Rabim. Va'avinim ba'am, we asked about that. My kazorek ba'aretz. How could it be that it's as if you threw onto the ground? It never rested anywhere. You hit a wall. Now we're dealing where you threw something sticky and it stuck onto the side of the wall. So it did rest on the wall. But if you hold the Chorish Yisram, have a dinner of Rishus Rabim, why would you have to come up with such an akimta that you threw something sticky that stuck onto the wall? That's what you had to come up with. You can have such a simpler case. Say that you threw an object, you threw a rock, you threw anything, any normal thing, and it landed on the wall. How did it stick to the wall? It landed in a hole, in a crevice on the wall. If you hold Chorish Yisram, have a dinner of Rishus Rabim, as long as that crevice is within 10 tefachim of the ground, you'd be chayiv. Why do you have to be so creative to come up with throwing one of those sticky toys that that sticks against the wall? So it says the Gemara, Zimnin Mishani La, Shani Tzror V'Chefetz, Demahadav Asi. So sometimes the answer they gave is that no, throwing an object at a wall, what's less like that you threw something sticky at a wall and it stuck to the wall, or that you threw an object at a wall and it mamj landed right there in the crevice, in the one hole in the wall, that it happened to land right inside there? That's very unlikely. It never lands there. It always bounces right back. And Zimna Shamni La Bekos Las Bechor. Sometimes say, oh, who says we're talking about a wall that has holes? You threw at a wall, a regular wall, doesn't have any holes. So it has to be that we're dealing with something sticky. So he said, if you throw above 10 tefachim, so that's like you threw ba'avir. How do I know that it's talking about a kosel that doesn't have holes? Because v'sal kadaito b'kosel this bechur, if we're dealing with a wall that has holes, amayk zorik ba'avir, hanach b'chor. Why would that be like your zorik ba'avir? It rested in a hole in the wall, and resting in a hole in the wall is a makom that's 4x4 tefachim. So that presumably you'd be chayiv for throwing into rishus hayachid if it rested in a hole in the wall. So it must be we're dealing with a wall that doesn't have holes. V'chitei masnisin d'las b'dalet al dalet. Who said the wall is 4x4 tefachim? V'am rav yudam rav chiyah zarek l'malam yud tefachim v'halch v'nach v'chor kol shu banul machlokas ramei av rabbanan. Now even if it rested in a tiny hole in the wall, as long as the wall is 4x4 tefachim, it would be subject to machlokas ramei av rabbanan. The ramei savar chokik in lahashlim. Ramei would say, granted this hole is not 4 tefachim wide by 4 tefachim, but if it could have been 4x4 tefachim, meaning there's enough space in the wall to hollow it out and to carve it out, to make an area 4x4 tefachim, that counts as if it is 4x4 tefachim. This concept of Chalkin Lahashim comes up in Maseches Menachos. We have it when we discuss the halachos of mezuzah. So when the halach of mezuzah is that only if a doorway is 10 tefachim high by 4 tefachim wide, is the doorway chayv mezuzah? What do you have an arched doorway? So you can't figure out it's 10 tefachim high by 4 tefachim. It's not a rectangle. So that's where we have this concept of chokik and lahashlim. That at 10 tefachim of height, would you be able to be chokik lahashlim to get to 4 tefachim of width? So Meir holds we imagine as if we were hollowing the area out. For Rabbanan Savri, ain chokik and lahashlim. And the Rabbanan say, no, we're not chokik lahashlim. We do not view this tiny hole as if it were larger. So if we don't want to get involved in this machlok between Rameir and the Rabbanan, we have to be dealing with a wall that doesn't have holes in it. Because if it were a wall that had holes in it, the case of throwing above 10 tefachim doesn't make any sense. Because if you threw it above 10 tefachim and it landed in one of those holes, at least according to Rameir, you should be chayiv for throwing into Rosh Hashiachid. It's not a makom p'tur. Because at least according to Rameir, we should be chokek lahashlim. So some of the Rishonim asked, the Ran asks, wait a second, isn't there a simpler solution? Why don't we just say that the whole wall is less than four tefachim? Then there's no chokik in the hashlam to four tefachim if the whole thickness of the wall was less than four tefachim. The whole time Rav Meir will say chokik in the hashlam is if the hole is less than four tefachim, but it could have been bigger within the confines of this wall, so we'll pretend that it's bigger. But if the whole wall is less than four tefachim, then it's vaday makom tur. So then certainly you're going to be pater. Why don't we say that? So it says the stam defanos, the stam koselos that they had were always more than four tefachim. If you look at the beginning of Maseches Babasra, the very first mission, Maseches Babasra discusses what happens when a wall falls down. How do they divide the area, or how do they divide the area that the wall was standing? So the Gemara discusses different. The mission discusses different types of bricks. This guy gets three tefachim. This guy gets three tefachim. Three tefachim. Three tefachim. How thick was the wall? Six tefachim. This guy gets two. This guy gets two. It's four tefachim. Most of the walls were very, very thick walls. So that's why we make the assumption. It's a standard assumption that it's got to be four tefachim thick. Okay, we'll pick up from two dots tomorrow.